Masechet Baba Metzi'ah Daf Kaf Gimel. We're on Kaf Bet Amud Bet. We are talking about finding a lost item, and the general rule is if it has a distinguishing mark, then you have to return it. If it has no distinguishing mark, then you don't have to return it. You can assume that the owner has despaired. We're going to talk about now Siman Ha'asui Lidares, a distinguishing mark that's there now, but it's likely to be destroyed, to be trampled on. Is that considered a Siman or not? The Mishnah taught that bundles of grain that you find in a public area, you can keep. Now, what case are we talking about? There's a machloket. Amar Rabba, afilu bedaba sheyesh bo siman. Al makasabar Rabba, siman ha'asui lidares lahave siman. Rabba, this is Rabba with a dagesh. That's the third generation Amora. He was Rosh Yeshiva in Pumpedita. He was also a Kohen. He's also known as Nachmani. Was his might have been his original name. So Rabba Nachmani. This is as opposed to Rava. He has no dagesh in his name, and Rava is a student of Rabba. Rava became the Rosh Yeshiva in Mehoza. He's a fourth generation Amora. Even though they are teacher and student, nevertheless, sometimes they disagree, and this is one of them. So Rabba says, we're talking about a case even where there is a siman, a distinguishing mark, on this bundle of grain. Something about the way it looks that you can distinguish. Oh, that's my grain. One can identify it. If someone says, I found grain, can you identify it? It says, yeah, I have a something on it that I can identify. Even so, one can keep it. Why? It must be, Rabba thinks that even though it has a siman, it's a siman that's likely to get trampled. It's in the middle of the street, right? A small bundle of grain in the middle of the street. People are going to step on it, and whatever siman is on there is going to be destroyed. And therefore, it's like it has no siman. And if you find it, you can keep it. Rabba amar lo shanu ele bedavar she'en bo siman. Aval bedavar she'yesh bo siman chayav lachriz. Al makasaba Rabba, siman nasu lidares, have siman. Rava says, no, the Mishnah is only where it's a regular plain old bundle of grain that doesn't look different from any other bundle. But if it has a siman, then you find it and you see it has some distinguishing mark, you have to announce it. Therefore, we see, according to Rava, a mark. Even though it will be trampled, nevertheless, it is considered a siman. Good. That's one version of the machloket. Vika dematne leha. Others report this machloket not in the context of explaining this Mishnah, but rather on its own. One opinion says a siman that will be trampled is a siman, and Rabba says a siman that will be trampled. Rabba says it's not a siman, and Rabba says it is a siman. Which of these two forms is original? It makes most sense that the first one is the original, and then some people explained it in that way and transmitted it in this way. But this is a kind of long. If you want to get just a short version, probably the second one is extracted from the first. Right? In fact, Rabba and Rava here only say the words "afilu b'vashesh b'siman" or "lo shenu elu b'vashen b'siman." It's a commentary on the Mishnah, and then the Gemara itself derives. Oh, it must be that they think this or that. Whereas over here, it just jumps to the conclusion and reports only the conclusion and not the statement that it was derived from. All right, now we're going to see a few different sources to test this out, to see which one's right, which one's wrong, and how Rabba and Rava would interpret the following different sources. Tenan, here's a braita. Kirichot b'shut harabim hareo shelo, b'shut hayachid notel u'machriz, hechidame, idilet behu siman, b'shut hayachid mai machriz, el alav di'it behu siman, v'katane, b'shut harabim hareo shelo, alma siman ha'asui lidares, lav esiman, tiubta de Rava. This braita says that a bundle of grain in public domain, you can keep. But if you find it in private domain, then you have to take it and announce, oh, I found this item, who can come and claim it? Now, what case are we talking about? If it's a case where there's no siman, then, and if it's private domain, what are you going to announce, right? There's no siman on it. Or how are you going to announce it? And if you do announce it, how are you going to be able to find the original owner. Everybody will say, oh, it's mine. Okay, prove it's yours. I don't know, it just looks like a bundle of grain. I found a bundle of grain, right? And how you, and then the person can say, yeah, it's mine. Okay, prove it. Do you have a siman on it? No. Well, then anyone can come and say it's theirs. And so what's the point of announcing it? So if there's no siman, so what are you going to announce? Rather, it must be that there is a siman, right? It was tied a certain way, way that it looks, and yet look what it says. In public domain, you can keep it. Therefore, we see that a siman, even though it's going to be trampled on, because in public domain it's going to be trampled on, and it is not a siman. This is a challenge to Rava, because Rava said, if it's going to be trampled, then it is a siman, so you still have to return it. But this over here says, Hutarim, you can keep it. So that means that if it's going to be trampled, it's not a siman. How is Rava going to explain this braita? Amar lach Rava, le'olam delet behu siman. Rava says, oh, I can say, explain this entire braita. It has no sign at all. And that which you asked, that's how you got there in the first place. Oh, if it's in private domain, what are you going to announce? I say, you can announce the place, right? I found an item in this place. If you know what I found, then you can come and get it. Someone says, oh, I know, it was a bundle of grain I lost here. Fine, then you can do that. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, Rashi and Tosafot here, say, you can announce, I found a bundle of grain in this area. If you can tell me exactly where it was, then you can have it back. Right? So either way, yes, you can identify it based on its location. Rabba amar makom lahave siman. Ditmar makom rabba amar lahave siman. Rabba amar have siman. Rabba would say, I disagree with that interpretation because Rabba thinks that a place is not a distinguishing mark. It's too vague and it's not intrinsic to the item itself. And we know this is a general machloket regarding a place, exact location. Rabba says, not a siman. Rabba says, it is a siman. So they're consistent with their readings in both of these machalokot. Next source. Tashema, kirichot b'shut harbim, hare elu shelo. B'shut ha'achid, notel u'machriz. Ve'ha'alumot, ben b'shut harbim, ben b'shut ha'achid, notel u'machriz. V'raita teaches that the beginning is the same as the previous one. Bundles in the public domain, you can keep. Bundles of grain in a private domain, you have to announce and return. But alumot, which are large bundles, no matter where they are, even in the Reshut HaRabim, and certainly in the Reshut HaYachid, you have to take them and you have to announce who lost it and try to return it. Rabba hechi metaresla, v'rabba hechi metaresla. We're going to ask both ways. How can either of them explain this baraita? Rabba metaresla tameh b'siman. Rabba metaresla b'makom. So this is really a continuation. This baraita is we're seeing the continuation of the previous baraita, and so both Rabba and Rava are going to interpret it in accordance with their opinion. Rabba saying that it has a siman, and Rava that it has no siman, but we can identify it based on the place. Let's explain. Rabba metares letame b'siman kirichot b'shut harbim hareo shelo mishum demidresa. If it's in a small bundle in public domain, it's going to be trampled. Even though it has a siman, it's not considered a siman. You can keep it. B'shut ha'yachid notel machriz de la midresa. If it's a small bundle in private domain, then if you find it, you have to return it because people don't walk a lot in the private domain, and the siman will not be trampled. It will be there, so it has a siman, so you have to announce it. V'halumot ben b'shut ha'bim ben b'shut ha'chid notel machriz kevan degbihan. But if these are large bundles, no matter where they are, even in the public area, you have to announce it because they're high and people don't trample over it. They're big and people just, they avoid it. They go around it. And so the siman, whatever siman is on there, will stay. And that's why you have to return it. It reads very nicely. Rava said, that a location is considered a siman itself, and therefore he's going to explain this entire braita as being without a siman. Now, if it's in the public domain, then it's a small bundle of grain, it's going to be kicked around. As people are walking, they're going to move it, it's going to roll to different places. So even if he says, oh, I found it, I lost it in this spot, it's not in that spot anymore, so there's no siman. and therefore you can keep it. If it's in a private domain where there's not a lot of people walking, then you have to announce it because it doesn't get kicked and rolled around, and therefore it'll be in the same place as it was lost. And person will say, yes, I lost it. It was in this exact spot. And then he can claim it. But the large bundles, doesn't matter where that they are, even in the Shut HaRabim, certainly in Shut HaYachid, if you take them, you have to return them because they are large and heavy. They do not roll away when kicked. So they're going to stay in the same spot, even in the Shut HaRabim. Good. Reads very well. Also, according to Rava. Next source, Tashema. Ki karot shel nachtom, hareo shelo. Ha shel baal habayit chayav lehachriz. Mishnah says that loaves of baker's loaves you can keep because they all look the same. No siman. They're all in the same mold. But if they're privately made loaves, we're deriving this from the Resha, even though actually the continuation of Mishnah is going to say this as well. So if they're homemade loaves, which all look different, then that's identify. Someone can identify it. If you find it, you have to announce it. Now, Shabbat Abayit Maitama, Kiven De'it Behu Siman, Demedaya De'it Iftadi Nashe Inishu, V'lashen Ashut Rabim, V'lashen Ashut Yachid, Notel U'machriz. Now, regarding the homemade ones, since it has a Siman, because everybody knows that the loaves of a certain person belong to that person. If it's made with a shape that person always makes it, then that's his. And it makes no difference whether you find the Shut HaRabim or the Shut HaYachid. That's a good siman. And so you have to announce it. Alma siman asu lidares have siman tiyub tadraba. Now, what you just said, even in the Shut HaRabim, there's a homemade loaf on the floor. A homemade loaf, a loaf on the floor in the middle of Fifth Avenue. People are going to step on it. So this is a siman that will be trampled. It's not going to stay there for long. And yet it says that you have to return it. So this means that even though it's going to be trampled, it is a siman. This is a challenge to Rabba. Good question. Amar lach Rabba. Hatam hanutam hamishum de'en ma'abirin ala ochalin. Oh, here's an important answer. Rabba says bread is different from other things like a bundle of grain because there's a halakha that you're not allowed to pass by food without picking it up. This is a halakha lema'aseh. Tin shulchan aruch. You see food on the floor, it's not disrespectful to just to leave it there, certainly not to step on it, but rather you should pick it up and treat it respectfully. And so since no one's going to step on it, the opposite, the first person that sees it is going to say, oh, look, there's bread on the floor, I better pick it up. And the siman will remain on it. And that's the reason why it has to be returned. This is the siman that was not going to be trampled on. We ask, v'hayka nochrim. Wait, but aren't there non-Jews? They don't know this halakha that you have to pick up food. So maybe they're going to step on it. No, nochrim chayshed l'chshafim. The non-Jews, they worry about witchcraft. That maybe somebody put a spell on this food, on this bread, and put it in the street, and whoever takes it and picks it up and eats it will get some kind of curse. So they stay away from it. They don't step on it. They don't pick it up. They don't do anything with it. Vayka behema uchlavim. Wait, aren't there animals and dogs? Aren't they going to come and step on it and eat it? And, you know, and within a few minutes, it'll be gone. And you won't be any siman anymore. And the answer is, batra de la shichicha behema uchlavim. So I'm at a place that there's not a lot of animals and not a lot of dogs. They're not found. And therefore, if you find a homemade loaf in such a place, even in the middle of the street, you have to pick it up and you have to return it. Lema ketanae. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol davar sheyesh bo shinui chayav lehachriz. Kesad, masai gul betocho heres, kikar betocho ma'ot, mekelad tanakama savad, hare elu shelo. Let's hypothesize that the machloket between the Rabba and Rava is parallel to the following machloket between two Tanaim, where Rabbi Yehuda says, anything that is going to, that has a change, an alteration, it's different from all the others, you have to announce. For example, if you find a fig cake and it has a piece of earthenware stuck inside, or a loaf of bread and it has a coin inside, this is it looks different from any other, and therefore that's a distinguishing mark. Person can come say, oh, that's my bread, prove it's your bread. Oh, I had a quarter stuck inside it. Okay, so then he would return it. So in all these cases, you have to announce it. Now that means that that's Rabbi Yehuda only thinks that. Tanakama says, even though it has a distinguishing mark, you can keep it. Okay, that's the two opinions of the Tanaim. Sabru. We're now going to go through different permutations of the following three variables and see, according to each permutation, how this could be a parallel to the machlok between Rabba and Rava. So let's start with the following theorems, that everyone agrees that a sign that can come by its own, in other words, not being placed there intentionally. When you see a coin in a loaf, it's possible that someone put the coin in there on purpose, but it's kind of unusual. Like, if you want to put a distinguishing mark, maybe like put a sign or your name or something, right? A coin. I mean, is that going to make someone want to return it? Kind of the opposite. If you see a coin, they're going to say like, "Ooh, a coin," and they're going to keep it. So this coin, more likely, it just dropped there by itself. So it is a siman, but it's something that got there on its own, or the potsherd. Maybe it just fell in by mistake. Okay, so let's assume that everybody agrees that a sign that gets there by itself is still a good sign, even though he didn't put it there on purpose. But now that it's there, he remembers, oh yeah, I had my loaf, a quarter fell into it. And so then he can use it. So let's say it is a siman. And let's assume that the halacha is that you can pass by food without picking it up. You don't have to pick it up. It's on the floor. Just keep walking. All right. Assuming that. And so what is the essence of the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama? Whether a sign that will be trampled upon is a good sign or not. The Tanakama says, It's not a good siman. There's no siman there. That's why you can keep it. Whereas the Biuda says, it is a good siman, and that's why you have to return it. And so that would be the parallel to the machloket between Rabba and Rava. Amar Rav Zevid, Mishum de Rava, Isal kadatech deka sabar tanakama, siman asui lidares, lahave siman, ma'abidin alochalin, ki karot shabal abayit b'shut rabim, amai machriz. Rav Zavid, in the name of Rava, challenges the identification of Rabba with Tanakama and Rava with Rabbi Yehuda. That means Rava is only like the minority opinion. Rava doesn't want that. So here's his challenge. If you think that Tanakama holds like Rava, that a sign that will be trampled is not a sign, and if you also assume that you can walk on food and you don't have to pick it up, well then, how will you explain the Mishnah that we saw just above, that homemade loaves that are in the public domain, you have to announce? Why would you have to announce them? Because if you assume, right, like we just had in this assumption, that you can step on food, then this is a siman. It's true, it's balabait and has a siman, but you can step on it, and it's Sucha Davin, so there's lots of people that will step on it. So then you should say that you can keep it. Yet it doesn't say that. It says you have to announce it. And therefore, you see, it doesn't make sense to say that Tanakama of that Mishnah agrees with Rabba. Ela amar Rav Zavid Mishmer de Rava. Tekule alma sabre siman ha'asui lidares have siman. Uma abirin al ha'ochalin. Ve'acha bema besiman haba me'elav kamipalge. Te Tanakama sabar. Siman haba me'elav lahave siman. Ve'rabi Yehuda sabar have siman. Rather, Rav Zavid says, in the name of Rava, everyone agrees that a sign that will be trampled is a siman. That was the opinion of Rava. So Rava is going to say that all the Tanaim, Tanakama, and the Biuda both agree with Rava, that it is a sign. So how are you going to explain their machloket? Well, we're also going to assume, like you just did, that you're allowed to step on food. And here, the machloket is whether a sign that comes there on its own, a coin might just fall into a piece of bread, whether that's considered a sign or not. Tanakama says, if it comes on its own, it's not a siman, and that's why you can keep it, right? That's what they said here, you can keep it. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, it is a siman, and therefore you have to return it. That's their machloket. Ve'rabba amar lach. Now, Rabba is obviously not going to agree with that. He's not going to admit that everyone agrees that it is a siman, he's going to say, no, the opposite. The kula amal siman, ha'asud ha'deres lav ha'siman. Everybody, both Tanaka and Rabbi Yehuda, think it's not a valid siman if it's going to be trampled on. And he assumes that the law is you're not allowed to step on food. You have to pick it up. But are you going to agree also that the mechloket is about whether a sign that gets there on its own is considered a sign or not? Tanakama says it's not considered a sign, and that's why you can keep it. Whereas the Biuda says it is a sign. If you see a coin in bread, then it is a sign, and you have to announce it. Good. So now every Amora can explain both Tanaim according to their own opinion. Another version of that discussion goes as follows. Everybody agrees that a sign that comes on its own is a sign. And if it's likely to be trampled on, then it's not a siman. So what is the argument here? Whether you're allowed to step on food or not. So Tana Kama says that you can step on food, and that's why it's going to be smashed. And since it's going to be smashed, it's no longer a siman. The Rabbi Yehuda says that you're not allowed to step on food. Therefore, the bread is not going to be smashed. And so the siman will stay. And so that is considered a siman. And even though it's just a coin and bread that can get there by itself, we're following the presumption that that is a siman. And that's why the Biuda would say, you have to return it. Okay, that's the hypothesis. Amar of Zabid Mishmer de Rava, Isa kada ter sabatana kama siman ha'asud lidares la ve'siman. Rava is not going to like this because this is one of the assumptions here goes against Rava. So Rava says, no, if you're going to assume that everyone, including Tanakama, thinks that a sign that's going to be trampled is not a sign, and you also think that you can step on food, then the same question as before, the Mishnah that says, homemade loaves in public domain, why do you have to announce them? After all, you're allowed to step on food, and if it's likely to be stepped on, it's not a siman. So the Mishnah does not make sense according to that part of the Mishnah does not make sense according to this opinion. Rather, must be everybody agrees that with what Rava says, a sign that will be trampled is a sign, and you're allowed to step on food. The machloket is whether a sign that gets there on its own is a sign or not. Just a coin in bread, maybe it fell there by on its own, and therefore it's not a siman, and that's why you can keep that bread. Thinks it is a sign, and that's why you have to announce and return it. Rabba follows his own opinion that if it's going to be trampled, it's not a sign. And he thinks that you cannot step on food, right? Same as before. Here the machloket is, same as what Rava says, whether a sign that gets there on its own is considered a sign. Tanakama says, it is, so it's not a sign, and that's why you can keep it. And the Biyuda says it is a sign, and that's why you have to return it. Amar Rav Zevid Mishved Rava, Kilala de Abedita, Kevan de Amar Vaila le Chesron Kish, Miaash le Mina. Rav Zevid, name of Rav, we already saw a statement that he said before. Here's another one. This is the basic principle of regarding lost items. What do you consider Yeush that a person despairs? If he says, woe is to me for my monetary loss. That is called that he despaired of recovery, right? He wrote it off on his taxes already. Oh, well, right, I lost it, right? What can you do when you lose something valuable?
Rav
Further gave the following conclusions. The halakha is that if you have bundles of grain, if they're found in the public domain, you can keep them. But if they're in the private domain, it depends. If it looks like it just fell without the owner realizing, then you can keep it. But if the owner placed it somewhere and it looks like it's placed on purpose and he's going to come back for it, then you have to announce it. And but in both cases, that's when there's no siman. But if it has a siman on those bundles of grain, then it doesn't matter whether it's in the Shute Rabim or the Shute Achid, and it doesn't matter whether it looks like it fell haphazardly or someone placed it there purposefully. Either, no matter what, has a siman, then you have to announce its return. Ha machazrot shel dagim. Now, continuing on to the Mishnah that said, a string of fish. If you find it, you can keep it. Amai, leve keshev siman. Why? How come we don't say that the tie is itself a sign? Right? Person says, yeah, that's how I put the fish. I make that knot. Bekitra de sayada. We're talking about a standard fisherman's knot. They all make the same knot, so it's not a distinguishing mark. If you have a special knot, you make it a certain way and you can identify it, fine. But the Mishnah, when it says that you keep it, we're talking about it has a standard knot. Now, how about the number of fish? Why don't you come and say, oh, I have 10 fish on there? And then that would be a sign that it's yours, because other people put 7, but some people have 5. And the answer is, we're talking about the standard number. The standard number that that the fishermen put, that's, I guess, easy to carry, not too heavy, not too light. So if it's the standard amount, standard knot, then you can keep it. But you're right, if it would be an non-standard, then you'd have to announce it. Now that you brought up the number, that's a good question in general. If you have someone lost a few items, can that by themselves, they're not identifiable, but if there is a certain number of them, can you announce, right? Someone lost a certain number of whatever, fish, and can the number of them be the distinguishing marker? Amar lehu Rav Sheshat, tini tuha, masake lechesefuch lenechoshet, gasteron shel avar, v'chol kele matachot, hare ze lo yachzir, ad sheiten ot, o ad sheikaven, mishkelotav, ubedemishkal havesiman, midal minyan, name havemishkal. Breita says, if someone lost silver vessels, copper vessels, fragments of lead, or metal vessels, you don't have to return them. Do not give them to the someone who claims them unless they provide a distinguishing mark, meaning they look different than other vessels or metal pieces of that's similar to them, has to have a distinguishing look, or if he can tell you the exact weight. That's the end of the braita. We can derive from this, from the fact that weight, if he knows this is exact, oh yeah, I lost 2 pounds, right, of that metal, then he can get it. So just like weight is a siman, so too it makes sense that a measure, how big it is, and number also should be a distinguishing mark, right? I lost 4 fragments of lead. Well, then you should get them back. So that's the answer. Yes, a number can be a distinguishing mark. Chatichot shel basar. Now, if you find some cuts of meat, you can keep them. Amai leve mishkala siman. Now that we just established that weight is a siman, why don't you say, anyone loses some meat, cuts of meat, and someone says, oh yeah, I lost an 8-ounce steak and a 10-ounce steak. So then you can give it back to him. Bemishkala de shavin. No, we're talking about standard weights. The standard weights that the butchers use, always that amount, and therefore it's not going to be a distinguishing amount, a distinguishing mark, because they're all the same weight. Tetevei chaticha gufa siman, o de dafka, o be'atma. So how about the type of cut it is? Is it from the neck? Is it from the thigh? What type of cut of meat? They're different. So maybe that could be a distinguishing mark, and therefore you have to return it. Milotanya, masachatichot dagim, vedag nashuch, chayav lahachriz, chaviot shel yain, v'shel shemet, v'shel tibua, v'shel gerogarot, v'shel zetim, hare elu shelo. And will prove that a type of cut should be a sign, because the Braita says if you found cuts of fish, or fish that was bitten in a certain way, and then you have to proclaim it, right? So that means because as that's called a distinguishing mark if it's from a certain type. On the other hand, the Braita says if you find barrels of wine or oil of grain or dried figs or olives, then you can keep that. You can keep them. So you see that cut of fish, meaning the part of fish that from which it's cut, the cuts of fish, right? That's what when it says here, chatichot agim, you have to announce them. Why? Must be because is it the top, the bottom, right? Which part of the fish is the distinguishing mark? And so too for meat, you can say, right, the type of cut, where it is from the animal, should also be a distinguishing mark. And the answer is Hachamaskinan Bidika Simana Befaska. No, when it says cuts of meat, it's not cuts of fish, it's not whether it's from this part of the fish or that part of the fish, but rather it's the shape of the cut. That's what this the distinguishing mark is, not where it is on the animal. Kihad Rabba Ba Rabhuna Mechatech Le Atelata Karneta. Taikanamede Katani Dumed Dagnashuch Shema'mina. As we know, Rabba Ba Rabhuna, when he would cut his meat, he would cut it in triangle shapes. That way he knew, right? Whenever, wherever it was, he's like, oh, the triangle shaped meat, that's mine, right? So people had distinctive shapes. It's not only today we have heart and moon and dragon shaped chicken nuggets. See, back then they also had shapes for their meat in order to distinguish them from everybody else. And that's what it's talking about. And in fact, that seems what the Braita really means, because look how it puts together pieces of fish and a fish that was bitten. So if it was bitten by whatever, some other bigger fish, and it has a bite mark, so that's a distinguishing mark. It's not the cut of fish where if it's from the top or the bottom of the fish, that's not what we're talking about, but rather it's something about the shape. It's triangle, it has teeth marks in this section, right? It's bitten off half over here. So the shape of something is a distinguishing mark, but the cut of meat, if it's from the neck or from the thigh, is not a distinguishing mark. Amar mor, chaviot shel yayin, v'shel shem, v'shel tovav, v'shel garot, v'shel zatim areu shelo. Now, we're just quoting the end of the Braita that we just cited, that if you have a barrel of wine or oil or grain or dried figs or olives, then you can keep it. V'hatenan kadei yayin v'kadei shemen chayav lachriz. But we have a Mishnah coming up soon that says a jar of wine or a jar of oil, you have to return. So which is it? Amar bizera amara metitin berashum. This Mishnah that says you have to return it is where it's sealed. When it's sealed, everybody has a special seal that they put when they put the cover on and they seal it. They put a stamp on it, says property of, or they just know the type of seal that they put and they can distinguish it. So that means that the Braita is not that case. It's not when it's sealed, but rather when it's open. Wait a second. If you leave a barrel of wine open, then it's going to spoil. So that means it's the case of where he deliberately left it there. He doesn't care about it anymore. It's hefker. So then for sure you can keep it. There's no chidush there. Can't be talking about that case. No, we're talking about a case where he covered it, but didn't seal it. He did cover it, means he wants it to stay good. He's gonna, and so maybe he'll come back for it, but he didn't seal it, so there's no distinguishing mark. There's no siman. That's why you can keep it in that case. Abaye Amar, afilu tema idi v'idi berashum. Abaye says a different way to resolve the contradiction between the Braita and the Mishnah. Both of them are talking about where they're sealed shut. V'lakashya kan kodem sheniftechu ha'osarot. Kan la'achar sheniftechu ha'osarot. Ki yahad Rav Yaakov bar Abba ashkach chavita dechamra la'achar sheniftechu ha'osarot. Ata lekamed Abaye amar le zil shekol lenafshach. The Mishnah that says you have to return jugs, that's talking about before the storehouses were opened. This means each of the winemakers has all their jugs in their storehouse. They're waiting there for, you know, all year long till they're ready, and everybody has their seal on it. So if it's before the time that the storehouse is open and you see a jug with a seal on it, certainly that belongs to the person that identified with that seal. So you have to return it. Whereas the Braita that says that you can keep it for yourself, that's after the storehouses were opened. What's the difference? Once the storehouses are opened, all the jugs are for sale. So buyers come and they want to taste some. So they open up the jars so they can taste some. And then they close it again without sealing it carefully like they did before. Furthermore, then people buy jugs. And even if they buy it sealed, now they buy the jug, they take it to some other place. They resell it, they trade it, and it goes round and round. And now, just because the jug has a certain seal on it, doesn't mean that it belongs to that original owner anymore. Likely not. Now it's already sold and resold. So the seal is no longer a sign. And therefore, the Braita says you can keep it. And we have a story exactly like this about Rav Yaakov Bar Abba, who found a barrel of wine. This was after the warehouses already were opened and everything's for sale. And he asked Abaye about it. And Abaye said, you can keep it for yourself. Last, Abba Amineh, Rav Bevai, Merav Nachman. Makom HaVesiman, Olo HaVesiman. Is a place an identifying marker or not? Right? I lost a jar of wine in this place. Is that good enough to be able to return it to the person? We already learned this in the Braita that we just mentioned. If you find barrels of wine or oil, or if you find grain or dried figs or olives, then you can keep these things. And if you would think that a place is an identifiable marker, then they should be proclaimed. Hey, anybody lose an item in this place? And they'll have to say what the item is. Or he'll proclaim, anybody lose a jar of oil? And then they'll have to say, I did. And you have to say exactly where it is. But it doesn't say that you have to announce it. That means the place is not significant. Amar Rav Zavid, hachab maskinan, berakta denahara. But Rav Zavid says, no, maybe this braita that says you can keep it for yourself is only on the bank of a river where that's where the port is. And there's lots of merchandise coming in and coming out, getting loaded on ships and taken off ships. So there's tons of stuff there. That's not an identifying mark. If you say, you know, anyone lose an item? Yeah, where'd you lose it? On the bank of the river. Yeah, that's where everything is. So that's too many things there for it to be an identifiable mark. That's why it's no good. But maybe, in fact, if it was in a more secluded area, then identifying the place would be a good distinguishing mark. Amar Mari, my time with Rabbanan Rakata Denahara LaHavesiman. And now we explain, how come that area of a bank of a river, anything that you find there, we do not consider the place to be a siman? Because we tell the person who comes to claim it, oh, I lost a jar of wine there. We said, yeah, just like you lost a jar of wine there, so did someone else lose a jar of wine there, right? Tons of things. You go to the airport, lost and found. It's tons of things. Any item you mention, you'll find 20 of them there. So that's not an identifying mark. Ika de Amre, another version of what he said, Amar Mari, Maitam Amru Rabbanan Makom Lahave Siman. So this is more general. The first one was, how come the port is not a siman? Here he says, more generally, how come a place is not a siman? We tell him, just like you lost an item in this place, so too someone else lost an item in that same place, right, wherever it is. So you see, the first version is saying, specifically, the port is not a good siman, but maybe a private, more private place would be. But in the second version, any place is not a good siman, because anyone could have lost an item in that place. Hahu gavra de'ashkach kufra be'ma'ar sarta. Ata lekame de'rav. Amar le'zir shekol nafshach chazia de'hava ka me'hasem. So someone found some pitch, right, like put on a roof or whatever, to put things together. Or to close up a barrel, more likely, since it's near a wine press. He finds his pitch, he comes to Rav. He says, what should I do? Do I have to announce it or I can keep it? Rav looks at it, he says, you can keep it. But the man was hesitating. He wanted to do the right thing and he felt bad. What, I could just take it home? Maybe it belongs to someone. Maybe they're still looking for it. So Rav says, I'll tell you what, how much I think that you can keep it. If you want, split it with Chia, my son. Right? And then he wouldn't take it for himself or for his own son, if he thought there was any problem with it, right? So you want to give half to my son, and you take the other half, and then you could be sure. It's like someone coming and saying, what do you think, Rabbi? Is this kosher? And he says, yeah. But he says, are you really sure? He says, give me, I'll eat half of it, right? And then you'll know that it's kosher. Lema kasabar Rav makom lave siman. So now, how come this is a? How come Rav says it's he can keep it? Maybe Rav thinks that a place is not a siman. This was found next to the wine press. So how come he doesn't come and announce, hey, anybody lose pitch? Yeah, I lost it near the wine press. And they would return it. The fact that we don't say that means that according to Rav, place is not a siman. Is that a good conclusion? Not necessarily. Amar bi abba mishum ye'ush ba'alim nagu ba'adachaza dekadchi be'chilfe. Could be that Rav got to his conclusion because he was able to figure out that the owner despaired of finding it because he looked at the barrel of pitch and he saw there's grass growing through it. It means it was there for a long time. That's it. It means the owner forgot about it and despaired of it. And that's why he said that this guy can keep the pitch. It's not necessarily because he thinks that a place name is a siman. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, amen v'amen.